Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet with Minnesota's 9/11 Task Force and check in with the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing and the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Traditional Guard members drill primarily one weekend a month. That means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs teams work tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our employers support Guard and Reserve program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members, be it at home, at the office, or in uniform. We all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got the right support.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the 9/11 and Global War on Terrorism Remembrance Task Force, and the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum will mark the 20th anniversary of 9/11 with an event on the Minnesota State Capitol grounds this September. The official 9/11 Day of Remembrance is scheduled in person for Saturday, September 11th, 2021. And joining me now to talk about that is Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Randall Dietrich, who is the Executive Director of the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, currently at Camp Ripley near Little Falls, Minnesota. Gentlemen, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for having us.
Commissioner, I'd like to start with you, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You've been the commissioner there for, I believe you're the 18th commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, starting in January 2019.
It's been a little over 2.5 years here, and just a lot going on in Veterans Affairs. I think we're just about as busy as we've ever been, and this event coming up in September on the 11th is just another item that I think is appropriate and very timely based on what's going on with the president and the drawdown of troops across the Southwest Asia area.
And Commissioner, I think you maybe understated, if anything, with the pandemic the last year and a half and three new veterans homes that you have to build and taking care of all those veterans that lost jobs because of the pandemic and of course, getting everybody in for to the VA to get their benefits and get the help they need. It has to have been a really busy time since you started.
I think I've had an extraordinary response from our staff. And you would have thought during the pandemic when we were all working from home that things might have reduced as far as our ability to help veterans. And actually, I was just reviewing the numbers here with the staff, and we had a significant increase, especially, as you said, Tom, those COVID grants, I think, were very timely, and we got those out in time to help thousands of veterans stay in their home and continue to keep their families and protect their families. And I think that along with all those other things you were talking about with the new cemetery and the new homes, it's been a lot of work for us, but it's a labor of love, and we love working on anything that can help our veterans in Minnesota.
Very good, sir. And Randall, a pretty busy time for you as well, Executive Director of the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum on Camp Ripley right now, but there's plans to move it just outside the gates and right out by the freeway and a brand new facility. Pretty exciting times.
Very exciting times to tell a much larger story with 40,000 square feet of a new facility due to open in the spring of 2024. We're gathering all the support we can muster, and that includes stories of veterans of the global war on terrorism is going to be a big part of this new facility to open in a couple of years.
And Commissioner, you and Randall have teamed up. I can't believe it's been 20 years since the terrorism attacks of 9/11/2001, and you're planning a big event for that weekend here in Minnesota.
We are, Tom. It's going to be an event that's open to the public. It's going to be an extraordinary way to say both to remember those contributions by veterans, first responders, and just Minnesota civilians that have been involved with, in one way or another, with the global war on terrorism over the last 20 years. We had, during that time, Tom, over 45,000 veterans that actually served. That's a significant amount of the total number of veterans in Minnesota. And it actually creates the second largest group of veterans that we're tracking within Minnesota behind the Vietnam veterans. Just an extraordinary day, and it's going to be, like I said, family focused. And we hope to both remember those who have passed and given their lives in, either in the line of duty or in serving their countries. And we also want to honor those that have served our state and in most ways also our country. And we just want to be able to do both things, and we want to make sure the public is part of this this remembrance and celebration.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, I know that, the day of 9/11 Day of Remembrance is scheduled in person for Saturday, September 11th, 2021, on the State Capitol grounds. Can you tell us a little bit about the ceremony and some of the speakers?
Well, we plan to have as many veterans from that 9/11 post 9/11 period as we can and their families. We'd also like the general public to come out and share. We think educating the public is also important. A lot of people in our society weren't even born 20 years ago, so it's a great way, especially for the younger folks, to learn about what 9/11 was and what impact it had. The general goings-on will start, the actual ceremony starts at 9 a.m., and the ceremony will include flyovers. We'll have also guest speakers that are very local to Minnesota. We'll have musical performances, and you'll see some military honors going on there. I think, specifically we have the guest speaker being the governor of the state of Minnesota, which is a former Command Sergeant Major Tim Walz, now governor of Minnesota, will be speaking. We have retired Army General Joseph Votel, who is a commander in Southwest Asia. We also have Gold Star mother Jill Stephenson will be there, and also Mariah Jacobson, the daughter of Flight 93 hero Tom Burnett. Those amongst lots of other goings-on that will provide more context about the 20 years that the global war on terrorism was going on. And I think people get an appreciation for what our veterans did. Many of those had multiple deployments, whether they're either active duty or National Guard during that time period. And I think, again, that's just honoring their service and what they've done for our nation.
So that, Commissioner, will be Saturday, September 11th, 2021, 9/11 plus 20, in the State Capitol grounds starting at 9 a.m. And somehow or other, I think I got roped into that. I think I'll be there helping you with that, Commissioner.
Yes, Tom, you're gonna be there coordinating all the efforts and making sure all the speakers get up there in time. I think if you do come early, there's going to be some events going on, I think, as early as 7 a.m., so don't be afraid to be there just a little bit early. We're going to make sure we recognize not only the service members who have given their life in line of duty, but others from Minnesota that were associated either with the day of the event or activities that were associated with supporting that. So I think it's going to be a great, great event. I would like to also say, Tom, that there will be activities going on into the afternoon. I think until about 2 p.m. we will have, it wouldn't be an event unless we had food trucks. So we'll have food trucks there. We're also going to have different displays and vendors. There'll be children's activities, I think, for children to do. So it'll be truly a good family event to bring the kids and to participate in remembering all the things that went on in the last 20 years.
Commissioner, we'll have to talk to the Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Corps and see if they can put in a good word for some good weather. They'll tell us they're in marketing, they're not in administration, but usually it helps if you get them involved and we get some good weather. Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Randall Dietrich, who is the Executive Director of the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. And we've been talking about an event that's coming up on September 11th, 2021. It's the official 9/11 Day of Remembrance, scheduled in person on the Capitol grounds to recognize the 20th anniversary of those terrorist attacks on 9/11. And Randall, the commissioner, gave us a rundown of some of the speakers and some of the things that's going to happen there. But I understand that you produced a documentary.
We did produce a documentary of Minnesota stories relating back to 9/11 and the war that has followed, naturally. And we're excited that documentary is done. There's a broadcast commitment to share a lot of that statewide. And it's filled with stories of Minnesotans telling their experiences. So it's called Resolute Minnesota Stories of 9/11 and the War. And it's packed with great stories. And as we've been doing on-camera interviews as part of our project to document this era over the last few years, at some point to do a documentary, pull all that footage together, and you kind of find that the core of that message, of that story, that what's the unifying elements of all these different accounts from 9/11 to being deployed in Iraq to being deployed in Afghanistan over the last 20 years. And one of the things that stuck with us was just this idea that what we were hearing from veterans, men and women who had been deployed and served, was a level of resolution, to be resolute in what they were doing, to do the best they could do in the circumstances they were in. And that really shines through in this documentary. It's the unifying theme in all of it is how resolute Minnesota soldiers have been doing what they've been asked to do and doing it well.
So you're going to show that documentary that day over in the state Capitol grounds?
Yeah, we hope to air it the night before at 7 o'clock, and then we'll air it again on the Capitol grounds.
Commissioner, I failed to mention when I introduced you in the first segment that you spent 30 years in the Guard, and a lot of the years from 9/11, 2001 to now you spend in the Guard. Things changed quite a bit in terms of how the National Guard is used along with the active duty troops to handle all the missions.
That's true, Tom. I was the mobilization officer. I mobilized first as part of the 1st Brigade of the 34th Division. We went on the longest tour of any unit, active duty or National Guard, with spending for some of the soldiers over 2 years on active duty. But during the time after that, I was the mobilization officer for the state, and I mobilized, they told me, over 11,000 soldiers in 2 years. So significant increase in use of our reserve forces. And that has continued until just recently. I think the rotations have been about every 4 to 5 years for most of the National Guard soldiers within Minnesota.
And Randall, at the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, you've been tracking all those changes, and you've been collecting up all kinds of artifacts and all kinds of information. And soon you're going to get an opportunity to put that in a new building outside the gates of Camp Ripley.
Yeah, it'll be a featured permanent gallery space in our new facility will be this story that we're talking about here. So it's an opportunity for listeners to go onto our website and share their stories from 9/11 and the 20 years that have followed to inform our thinking and to fill out that gallery space. But even before that, even on Saturday, September 11th this year, at the Cedar Street Armory, we'll have a display based upon those stories that we've gathered and featuring some of those items that we want to put on display. And we encourage people to come and see the traveling display. And more information about that, again, is on the MDVA website with all the information about Saturday, September 11th at the State Capitol.
And that armory is just down the hill from the state capitol, so that traveling display from the Minnesota Military Museum will be there. So if they come early or stay late, they can go look at that.
Absolutely.
Now, Randall, I want to come back to this 9/11 plus 20 years. I can't believe 20 years have passed, but you've got quite a story to tell. And I know in your limited space in the quarters on Camp Ripley, you don't have room for all the stuff you've got. So how excited are you about the aspect of a new building on a new lot outside the gates where the public can come and see it?
We're thrilled that the board of directors is excited. I think a lot of veterans are excited to see us have the chance to share a bigger story, representative of all service branches from all across the state of Minnesota. And, you know, this conflict, America's longest war that we've been fighting, is going to be a big part of that, that we hope to will display in 2024. And folks are welcome to contribute their stories. They're welcome to contribute financially to help make that possible. But, you know, remembering that on 9/11 and every listener knows where they were on that morning and understand that they were Minnesotans in the towers, both towers. They were Minnesotans on those planes. They were Minnesotans in the Pentagon. And so we're documenting those stories and gathering them now. And they're dramatic stories that we're going to share with people. But what we really want is to develop a definitive history of this period of time for the archive, for a museum, and then to share that definitive history with people moving forward. So this anniversary is the chance for people to come forward, share their stories with us, inform our thinking, and contribute to the archive of the museum so we have that to share with future generations. And as much as I'd love to see and expect those veterans that Commissioner Herkey was speaking about, those 45,000 veterans in Minnesota, come together 20 years later and remember and be thanked, I believe, for their service and understanding the multiple deployments they've gone through. You know, where I'm coming from a museum perspective, is gathering that story of the deployments and the men and women who have served, but also the community that's come together to support them in this process through these long deployments and the multiple deployments. What is that community of people that have made that possible? And to have them join people and all come together on Saturday, September 11th in just a few weeks.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey and Randall Dietrich on Minnesota Military Radio, and the topic today has been the official 9/11 Day of Remembrance, scheduled in person at the state capitol on Saturday, September 11th, 2021. Commissioner, I'd like to come back to you. We've just got a couple of minutes. Can you run us through the ceremony and the speakers, and where do people go over there? I imagine you're going to have some parking, designated parking, and I hope you get a lot of people that show up. I'll try to get there early as ordered, sir.
All right. Well, it's going to be quite a day, and I think it'll be probably one of the most unique ceremonies that have probably happened on the Capitol grounds. The day actually will start at 7:30 with the pre-ceremony. There'll be a tolling of bells and reading of names. So if you come early again, like I said earlier, no problem. Come and participate in those pre-ceremony events. Parking for those individuals coming to the ceremony will be throughout the Capitol area. We'll go there first, and then we'll have overflow parking and people to direct you to that with transportation back once the on-location parking is full. The actual ceremony, you need to be in place by 9 a.m. It's the Day of Remembrance official ceremony. Again, the guest speakers during that time period will be Governor Walz, retired Army General Joseph Botel, who served in Southwest Asia as commander. I will be speaking for a short amount of time. Gold Star mother, Jill Stephenson, and Mariah Jacobson, who is the daughter of Tom Burnett, who is on the Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania. So it's a great lineup during that time. We'll also have two different flyovers that are going to happen, release of doves during that time period, wreath ceremony, and other military type recognition during that time. And then post time period, I think there will be things like I talked about with the food trucks. There'll be exhibits. There'll be different places for information. You can go down to the Cedar Street Armory and see the museum display, which is going to be awesome. And just there'll be a lot of things to do afterwards, to include some live music that'll be going on, plus also the Resolute being shown for the second time, I guess, there on 9/11 itself. So there's a lot of things going on, activities through 2 p.m., and we just love to have as many veterans from 9/11 come. We'd also like to invite the community as a whole. This is a free event. There is no charge, and we'd just love to have you come and participate.
Commissioner, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Tom, and we're looking forward to being there with you on 9/11 for the ceremony starting at 9 a.m.
Yes, sir. And Randall, thanks for coming to see us at the studio today.
Thank you very much.
Remember, you can go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs events page. The event is free and open to the public. 9/11 Day of Remembrance. All-day events with the commemorative ceremony planned at 9 a.m. There's a traveling display that will be over at the Cedar Street Armory. Saturday, September 11th, 2021, Minnesota State Capitol Grounds. Joining us today to talk about this was Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Randall Dietrich, who is Executive Director of the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment, we're going to talk about the relationship between the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing and the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Who are the movers and shakers in your communities? They may not boast about their service, but if you ask, you'll find that many of them are veterans. They are the leaders who take the initiative when something needs to be done. Give them the opportunity and they will exceed your highest standards. The men and women who have worn the uniform are driven to succeed. They are poised and ready for the next mission, their mission back home in Minnesota. This mission will be in the companies and small businesses across the state. If you're looking for a smart, dependable employee, look to a veteran. For additional information on how to hire a veteran, go to MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to visit today with the Minnesota Air National Guard and the Metropolitan Airports Commission about the relationship with the 133rd Airlift Wing and the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And joining me to do that is Colonel Jamie Lindman, who is the Vice Wing Commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing, Minnesota National Guard. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
And Roy Furman, who is the Chief Operating Officer for the Metropolitan Airports Commission, responsible for airport planning and development, activities and management and operation of the Minneapolis-St. Paul International and six general aviation airports in the Twin Cities. Mr. Furman, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thank you.
Colonel, I want to start with you. Can you tell us just a little bit about how long have you been in the military and what's your current position at the 133rd Airlift Wing?
Yes, I joined the Air Force in 1991, swore in, began basic training. I was commissioned in 1995 as a second lieutenant via the Air Force Academy, and then I was a navigator, active duty, for about 6 years. And then I saw the light. I switched over to the Air National Guard in early 2002, and I've been with the Air National Guard for roughly the last 19 years. Various capacity. I was a former 109th Airless Squadron commander, a maintenance squadron commander, and I'm presently the Vice Wing Commander of the 133rd underneath Colonel James Cleet.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Furman, I understand you spent a few years in the Army National Guard.
I did, Tom. I spent 22 years with the Minnesota Army National Guard, and more specifically the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade out of St. Paul. It was a great opportunity to serve the country while still maintaining a civilian career as well. And on behalf of our chairman of the Metropolitan Airports Commission, Rick King, and our CEO and Executive Director, Brian Wicks, thanks for allowing us to be part of this show this afternoon.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you and the Colonel both. Colonel, I want to come to you. I understand we've got an important year coming up, an anniversary for the both the 109th Squadron and the 133rd Airlift Wing, because they were among the first tenants at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, probably even had a different name 100 years ago.
Yes, we did, Tom. And it was actually, we already celebrated our 100th year. That happened in January of this year. So January of 1921. Is when the 109th Observation Squadron received its federal recognition. And after that, then the Militia Bureau at the time, kind of the modern-day National Guard Bureau, but then called the Militia Bureau, they authorized funding and authorized the formal startup of this squadron. With that funding, they were able to purchase 9 aircraft and the capability to build a couple hangars. And since they didn't have a place to operate at the time, they were a bunch of ex-World War I pilots, and they were operating out of a small field called Curtis Field out of St. Paul. But, of course, they didn't own the land or anything else, so they basically put the stake in the ground at modern-day Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport in the early 1920s. They built hangars in 1922, very, very close to the present-day location where the 133rd Airlift Wing is located. And then a kind of unique event in 1923, the then commander, Captain Ray Miller, who's a common name in the Air National, Minnesota Air National Guard and kind of our founding father. But Captain Ray Miller, he did the dedication of the airport and named it Wold Chamberlain Airport in honor of two ex-World War I fighter pilots from Minnesota that were killed in action. And very unique because that was a big event. It was an air show, and it kind of highlighted aviation. And again, we were some of the first tenants there. And then from thereafter, the airport just kept building up.
And Roy, I can remember when it was called Wold Chamberlain Field because there was kind of a sleepy road running in front of the airport. It's come a long way to what it was today. I was out there last week, and there's a parking ramp and a hotel, and it's grown a lot.
It certainly has, Tom. And Wold Chamberlain has a strong history, and we still go by that name, although it's more prevalently known as MSP International Airport. But you know, to Colonel Inman's point, you know, that we've always been part of a cooperative approach here, a partnership between the 109th, the 133rd. And if you go back into our early history, Northwest Airways was an early tenant at MSP as well. And as the airport began to grow in 1926, Northwest Airways then merged with Northwest Orient, Northwest Airlines, and then ultimately merged with Delta Airlines in 2008. And, of course, they're our largest airline here at MSP, but MSP is also home to Endeavor Airlines and Sun Country Airlines. You know, as commercial air travel grew in the 30s and 40s, the Minnesota legislature created the Metropolitan Airports Commission in 1943 to manage MSP and our system of seven airports, as you'd mentioned earlier. But in those early years, MSP had a small terminal on the west side, really loading those DC-9s directly from the ramp. And although the airline service continued to grow at MSP, the airport's biggest user remained the military, making almost half of the operations at MSP Wold Chamberlain Field in 1947. However, that with that growth in air service and passing a million passengers in 1955, the MAC decided to build a new terminal, Terminal 1, actually, in 1962. And in coordination and partnership with the Air Force, transferred actually their fire department to the MAC as a joint-use airfield to be able to serve that growing need of air transportation. Now, MAC has experienced significant growth, as you know, over the years, and today the Terminal 1 now has seven concourses, 104 gates, and two terminals that served a record 39.6 million passengers in 2019. And while activities at MSP really declined last year in 2020 due to the pandemic, we've seen considerable recovery in air service demand, particularly for leisure travel. We hope to reach that pre-pandemic level again here in 2023. But it's been a great partnership over the years with our military friends.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with Colonel Jamie Lindman from the 133rd Airlift Wing and Roy Furman, the COO of the Metropolitan Airports Commission, on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, has to have been a big partnership between the military, the 133rd, and, of course, the 934th campus, and the Metropolitan Airports Commission. Sounds to me like it's been a good relationship and a good give and take for 100 years.
Exactly. Ever since the time, roughly 100 years ago, we built those first hangars and among the first tenants, we think that our forefathers kind of helped build up the airport and it started as a strong foundation. But post-World War II, in the 1950s, we were flying fighter interceptor units and we had aircraft on alert and I think at the time worked closely with the Airport Commission to help us build high-speed taxiways so these aircraft, if or when alerted, they could quickly respond. And so that's just one example. Another more recent example is the light rail system. We worked closely with the airport and Department of Transportation to help facilitate the tunnel that currently goes underneath the north parallel runway. And that some of that land was deeded by the 133rd Airlift Wing and the Minnesota National Guard to, again, for the capability and the access for all Minneapolis citizens.
Roy, we just got about a minute left, but just before the pandemic, we were out there at the Minneapolis International Airport and did a live show from a brand new Veterans Service Center. And unfortunately, that closed down during the pandemic. Is that open and ready to go again, sir?
Tom, it is open again. You know, they've been out here for over 50 years, and that Armed Forces Service Center is staffed by wonderful volunteers, and it's a very comfortable stopping point for any of our active duty military, their dependents, Medal of Honor recipients, Purple Heart recipients, etc. They really play a key role in making sure that soldiers' needs are met inside the terminal as well.
And the new digs there, they have bedrooms, they have places for them to shower and clean up and food, and it's beautiful. I understand Delta helped with part of that.
Absolutely. It's a great partnership. All the stakeholders here at MSP really do understand the connectedness between all of our different stakeholders, whether it be airlines, the military, the MAC, the FAA, and our federal partners as well with TSA and the like.
Thank you, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the 133rd Airlift Wing and the relationship with the Metropolitan Airports Commission. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Colonel Jamie Lindman from the 133rd Airlift Wing and Roy Furman, who is the COO of the Metropolitan Airports Commission, about the relationship between the military and the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport here in the Twin Cities, and it's been an incredible relationship. The military was one of the first tenants at the airport 100 years ago, and it's hard to believe time flies, but Roy, I understand that out at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport that there's something special going on in Concourse C.
Yeah, Tom, there really is. You know, the Minnesota Army Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Centennial Display is now up and viewable on our Concourse C art display, the Thomson Reuters art display. It is a fantastic display of the history of the 133rd back to the 109th. And I stopped by there again on Monday. And it's truly an inspiring history of how Minnesotans, and specifically the Air National Guard, have played such a prominent role here in leading the development of the Air National Guard across the country and influencing aviation, both the state as well as the country. And we're very so proud to have that display available for everybody to see.
And, Colonel, when you were telling us about what was going on over the history, one of the things that we failed to talk about was there was a famous aviator, Eddie Rickenbacker, that did an air show way back when.
He sure, now, and just to clarify, he attended that air show back in 1923. I think he maybe did a quick flyby, but for those that are unaware, he was a World War I ace, very famous coming out of World War I. But he attended that event, and so he was one of the big draws, if you will, and I believe they had over 15,000 people, as reports say, at that early 1920s air show.
That, sir, just reminds us that over 100 years, a lot of things happen, and the time flies quickly. Before we run out of time, Colonel, I want to ask you about your C-130s. Are they the most modern C-130? Are you due for upgrade? You know, we see them flying all the time. It's like, I call it a flying tank.
Well, that's a good analogy, Tom, or I say it's a flying Jeep, whether a Jeep or a tank, but yeah, it's a very, very utilitarian aircraft, does about everything and anything. We're very proud of the fact that just this year, in just January this year, the 133rd and the 109th Airlift Squadron reached 50 years flying the C-130. That's a couple different variants. We started out with the E model in the early 1970s, and we flew that for almost exactly 25 years. Then we got upgraded to an H model at the time. That was the state of the art in 1996. We received our H model aircraft that we still have today. And here we are another 25 years later. So although they are very well maintained and very capable aircraft, there is a newer J model C-130 aircraft. And we're hoping, very optimistic, that we will be getting the J models ideally in the next 5 to 7 years. Our H models are still flyable for another 10 to 15 years, but a lot of new technology, avionics, engines, propellers, and capability with the additional J models. So we're continuing to upgrade our current H models. We would love to get these new J models and fly them for another 25 plus years.
Sir, we certainly hope to see that. But one thing you touched on there was when you deploy, whether it's 30, 60 days, you take your own mechanics with you, and those guys know your aircraft.
Absolutely. And our mechanics, they know our aircraft, and they love our aircraft. I compare it to a kid that's taking care of grandma's automobile, that they're going to really baby that thing, and they do. They take excellent care. I would argue that our C-130s are the best maintained C-130s not only in the Air National Guard, but across the Air Force.
Yeah, that's got to give the air crew some comfort that you've got your own guys taking care of them, and they're in great shape, and off you can go on the mission.
Absolutely.
Roy, I want to express my gratitude for what you've helped accomplish on Concourse C, and it certainly sounds like the Metropolitan Airports Commission has a great relationship with the Minnesota Air National Guard and the 934th Reserve. What do you see for the next 100 years?
I hope my crystal ball is somewhat accurate, but it'd be great, as Colonel Lindman had indicated, to see the C-130s and both the Air National Guard as well as the Air National Guard Reserve be stationed here at MSP. You know, it's a great complement to the facilities. It's great to actually have that facility on our airport as a joint use facility. And if you just recall back to 9/11 and what took place and how the Air National Guard was able to mobilize and be overhead and provide that safety and security net for the entire metropolitan area and be based here at MSP to be able to do that is just fantastic. So we really look forward to their ongoing support, partnership, as well as coordination here with MSP and for many, many years to come.
Thank you, sir. And Colonel, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, we hope to been 100 years here and proud tenants working very closely with the airport, and we hope to make it another 100 years, whether that's flying C-130s, another tactical airlift, or another mission. We're always looking for good and diverse future airmen to come join the Air National Guard and the 133rd Airlift Wing.
So you got plenty of room for some more men and women to join the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Absolutely, Tom.
All right, very good, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
And thanks for having us.
That was Colonel Jamie Lindman from the 133rd Airlift Wing in the Minnesota Air National Guard, and Roy Furman, Chief Operating Officer of the Metropolitan Airports Commission, on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, a lot of things have happened in the last year and a half. We had a pandemic. We had things closed down. Here we are, finally got through the winter, summertime. I hope the pandemic's behind us. How's it treated your Patriot Guard riders?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. We're still trying to follow the guidelines for, groups and things like that when we attend funerals and welcome homes and stuff. Naturally, we stand 6 feet apart because we hold a 5-foot flag, and if you're not at least 6 feet apart, you get slapped with it. So.
Well, that's not the purpose of those things.
No, it's not, but it works.
Tell us now how your riders find out about a mission when we lose a veteran and the family asks the Patriot Guard to come and honor them.
Yes, that's a good point. We're only there when we're invited. So actually, you can go to our webpage, mnpatriotguard.org. We're on the left side. It says mission calendar. Go there. You can look to see what's coming up, and you can attend whatever you want to. Even if you're not a Patriot Guard and you just want to come out and show some honor, dignity, and respect for our fallen soldiers, you're welcome to come. Just show up and bring a 3x5 flag and a pole to put it on and see the ride captain there, and he'll tell you what to do. If you decide later you want to come out and join the Patriot Guard, we'd love to have you there, too.
And if they decide to join, that's a simple thing, too. You just go back to the website and sign up.
Yep, right up. Right on the top there, it says join the Patriot Guard, Minnesota Patriot Guard, and it gives you all kinds of information. And the big difference there is we'll send you an email whenever we have something important happening in your area. And, you can pick and choose what you want to, but we'd love to have people there. It's all about honor, dignity, and respect for our military.
So you sign up, you'll get emails, you'll see the missions. If you have the time and can make it, all you have to do is show up with your flag and a good heart, and the ride captain will show you what to do, and it's amazing when you stand the line for one of our veterans who have died.
Oh, it is. It is. There's a lot to say about individual people just showing up at a funeral for a fallen soldier. And the family seeing all these people, just being there is a wonderful thing.
And Tim, I know one of your favorites is when the government's been able to repatriate some of our troops from even World War II or Korea or Vietnam and bring them home. That's quite an event.
Oh, it is. It is. You get those people that have been missing for 60, 70 years, and the families are still waiting for them to come back home. It's a heartwarming thing.
Very good, sir. Now, Tim, you used to participate in a fundraising event we've referred to as the Ride that went away. Is there another version of that coming?
Well, there is. Yeah, if you start watching next spring and summer, we're going to be putting out something called the
Gathering of the Guard.
Gathering of the Guard. So when we're going to do that, it'll be the Patriot Guard's Ride, and it'll be a fun deal. It may not be as big as the old Patriot Ride, but it'll be a fun thing.
So for our listeners, stay tuned and keep listening for information on Gathering of the Guard. Yes. Tim, thanks for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum, Colonel James Lindman from the 133rd Airlift Wing, Roy Furman from the Metropolitan Airports Commission, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we'll be on location for the 2021 Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic at Bunker Hills Golf Course in Coon Rapids. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.